It's time to get action with Action Station Aotearoa, the segment where we chat with the people campaigning for a fairer future.
For our bi-weekly segment of Get Action, where we speak to petitioners from Action Station about their causes, I spoke to Erin Thomas, Director and Changemaker at the International Centre for Advocates Against Discrimination, or ICAAD. ICAAD has been working to bring awareness and justice to the Bunuban people residing in Rabi, Fiji, as a result of the displacement due to phosphate mining of Bunuban people in the mid-20th century. I spoke to Erin about ICAAD's recently launched petition to the New Zealand Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade to bring justice to the Bunuban people. I started by asking Erin to explain further the history of displacement of Bunuban people. Could you explain a little bit about the history of the displacement of the Bunuban people to the island of Rabi, Fiji, due to the impacts of phosphate mining?
So from the early 1900s to about the end of the 1970s, the British Phosphate Commission, which is jointly owned by the British, Australian and New Zealand governments, mined 90% of Bunuba's surface. So Bunuba is an island nation currently in the political boundaries of Kiribati in the Northern Pacific. And by 1945, the Phosphate Commission relocated Bunubans to Rembe Island in Fiji. So since then, Rembe has functioned as the semi-autonomous jurisdiction within Fiji and a secondary home for Bunubans.
And so how does life look like for Bunuban people currently?
Yeah, well, to this day, Bunubans on Rembe face discrimination as a partially self-governing entity, largely falling between the cracks of the jurisdictions of Fiji and Kiribati. So what we've noted in some of our reporting, and as a human rights advocacy center, we do a lot of this background legal research to draw these numbers together to support the amazing work by human rights defenders on the ground. And one thing that we found was from the Fiji government budgets, you know, there are a number of semi-autonomous jurisdictions in Fiji, including Kiowa and Rotuma, but compared to those jurisdictions even, Rembe receives only $43 per capita in development funding, compared to $140 for Kiowa and $313 per capita for Rotuma. So funding is a huge gap, and we see how there's a lot of neglect for Rembe itself, which also extends to governance. So we've seen an attempt to re-mine the rest of phosphate on Bunuba, which has sort of emerged as a result of this lack of attention on Rembe and what we now have as an interim appointed government administrator to govern Bunuban affairs, which is a far cry from democracy.
So what role does Aotearoa need to play in bringing justice to the Bunuban people?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really important that these stories are heard here in Aotearoa because the New Zealand government was a joint owner in the Phosphate Commission. The phosphate that was mined was used for fertilizer for the agricultural industry to bolster the growing settler population in the colonial project here on the Samoa. When we trace the link between our lives here in New Zealand and this history of extractive industry and displacement, it's a matter of both reparations for harm caused, as well as ensuring that New Zealand's role in the region extends to preventing the continuation of such extraction, right? We see continued efforts to try to re-mine Bunuba from foreign mining companies, essentially repeating history. But we've cataloged a lot of these stories with our Bunuban partners in both a physical exhibition that we held on the waterfront at Silo 6 earlier this year, as well as a virtual exhibition to ensure that these stories are heard here in New Zealand in particular.
Could you speak a little bit about your petition to the New Zealand Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade and what this entails?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, it's a matter of reparations in New Zealand really acknowledging their role in this legacy of displacement and dispossession. And what is being called for, and the petition is up on Action Station's website at the moment, is one, immediate development assistance to Bunuba. So on Bunuba, there's a lack for the resident population there. There are about a couple hundred Bunubans still remaining there. They suffer from a lack of access to clean water and are really reliant on food imports because, again, similar situation of being neglected by both Fiji and Kiribati. And obviously the environmental conditions are dire considering that 90% of the surface of the island was mined. So the water lens is disrupted and so on. And the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has largely ignored this issue, sort of chalking it up to, being for Fiji and Kiribati to deal with. But because New Zealand played a key role in the extraction of phosphate and the displacement of bonabins, the calls are directed back at the New Zealand government to address this through development assistance, through opening dialogue, through their diplomatic channels, and also addressing the bonabin community living within New Zealand by extending immigration access and supporting communities here to make sure that bonabin history is taught and heard here on this land as well.
What is the response to the petition been, and what's next for the movement?
The people who came through the exhibit, both in person, who came to our events and who have also engaged with the virtual exhibit, have been really shocked that they didn't know this history, actually. And that was probably the biggest feedback that we've received just from community members about really being in the dark about what's happened and the fact that this phosphate really made it possible for many of us to be living here on this land today. Which the results being the displacement of an entire nation. There has been interest and engagement from MSAT as well, and we're hoping to continue those relationships, as well as our ongoing advocacy with the Fiji and Kiribati governments to ensure that the human rights of Bonabins are protected wherever they live, including on Rembe, Bonaba, and obviously in Aotearoa as well.
How relevant is what happened to the Bonabin people to the future of displacement in the Pacific as a result of climate change and the extraction industry and other issues?
Yeah, that's a great question. And as a human rights advocacy centre, we have been thinking about this in terms of what lessons can be learned for climate displacement. And many of the human rights defenders on Rembe have pointed out that there are issues around the right of return. For example, there are immigration pathways that are barred or not upheld for Bonabins who might want to access Bonaba, which is now in the boundaries of Kiribati. So we've done a lot of work to develop things like a citizenship handbook to outline those pathways to some of our law firm pro bono partners. And to really dig into some of these really thorny legal questions that come up when we talk about climate displacement. Now, I should also mention that people living on Bonaba and Rembe are facing the effects of the climate crisis as well. So it's obviously happening in real time. But I think it's important that we understand these histories, both as it relates to how extractive industry can exacerbate the climate crisis, but also how extractive industry in itself displaces people in very similar patterns to how we might think about climate displacement too. So the legal questions around immigration, right of return, how do we protect the human rights of those who fall between the cracks of jurisdictions are all really key questions that we want answered. We'll actually be releasing a report in a few weeks on our Right to Life with Dignity project, which is focused on these questions around expanding legal protections for those displaced by the climate crisis, with a key case study, obviously, from our Bonabin human rights defender partners.
As climate migration is looking more and more inevitable, especially in the Pacific, what more should we be doing to help preserve the culture of Pacific migrants?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think when it comes to preserving identity and culture, there's a lot that we can lean on in terms of international human rights law to ensure that governments are sort of holding up their end of the bargain. But I think we can look to many of the great examples within like great multicultural practice that we see in Aotearoa at the moment in terms of ensuring there's adequate funding for different types of cultural practices and gatherings to be upheld. I think there are also bigger questions around sovereignty and the preservation of nationhood that is on the minds of many key decision makers in the region. And I think I'll leave that to our Pacific and frontline partners to sort of be the key ones to answer those questions. But certainly a lot of that has come up and we're raising their voices within our Right to Life with Dignity report. Yeah, I would just suggest that everyone learn more about the history of displacement and dispossession of Bonaba. Check out our virtual Artivism exhibition if you missed our Silo 6 exhibition in Auckland. And please do sign the petition calling on the New Zealand government to take responsibility for their role in the harm caused and to protect Bonaba from the current and future attempts to remine what's left.
That was Erin Thomas, Director and Changemaker at ICAAD, speaking to me about their petition titled Protecting the Life to the Right to Life with Dignity of the Bonaban Community.
That was Get Action with Action Station Aotearoa.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back shortly. Keep it on the beat.